Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It's the home of your favorite Baltimore Ravens talk via a podcast. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, hey. How you doing, Brandon? It's been a little bit, but we're going to get back to it, right?
That's right. It is draft week here. Baltimore Ravens, they've got their draft coming up. The whole NFL's got it. The Ravens, their first selection is going to be at number 17. Now, the Ravens have been known over the last few years. I think one of the first shows you and I ever did was about the draft a few years ago, and you pretty much were like, they're going to just trade out of the first round, and you were absolutely correct.
Yep. It was kind
of
like, remember that.
I remember doing that, and after the draft, I went, you know what, I think I'm doing this show with the right guy.
You got
it perfectly. So what do you think they're going to do this year? Are they going to trade out, or are they going to hold on to this first round pick and actually go with somebody?
You know what, man? I don't know what Ozzie's got up his sleeve. I mean, we always think we can predict it, which I was right. Don't get me wrong. It was a treat to be right. But, you know, it's every year it's a guessing game. What are the Ravens going to do? Who are they going to pay? And everybody, even a friend of mine asked me this afternoon. He's like, hey, bro, what are Ravens going to do in a draft? I said, well, I'm recording tonight. You know, our podcast we're going to talk about later. But I even told him, dude, it's a card. It's like a lottery. Really, we don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I'm talking to friends and everybody's been asking me, and basically what I think they're going to do is stick to my guns. I think they're going to pick at 17. Brandon, the only reason why I can see they would trade out of the first round is if they trade down in the first round or out, is to either gain more picks or to target a player they're looking. Even if they were to trade up to get in the top 10 or close, again, it's a target. It's a specific target in mind that they want, and that's their guy. That's our guy, they're saying, and that they want him, and they're going to get whatever it takes. I mean, the draft, I don't know if you remember, you know, this week my computer fried, so I've been really busy, so I haven't got a chance to look it up, Brandon. You know, I apologize, but what I wanted to do for this example is when the Ravens 2008 when they got Joe Flacco, I think they traded twice. I think they traded up and then back down at 18 to get Flacco. They played Flacco at 18, and we have 17, so they've been known to, you know, throw some curveballs with us, but again, my gut, I think the Ravens are going to stick with number 17 as their pick.
Why do you think this year is going to be different? The Ravens had a very lopsided season last year, and it kind of scared a lot of fans out there what the Ravens were going to be. Is there a certain position that you think this year around they got their eyes on somebody particular that they like early on and that they know they've got to fill a spot on this team? Because the great thing about the NFL draft, and I absolutely love this about it, is that when a guy gets drafted, you're going to see him next season. So we can expect to see this guy on the field, whoever he may be. So is there a position that you see that they're going to be looking at and a certain guy that's going to be able to fill that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to go defense, or I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the ball, mainly in the secondary. I think they're going to draft a safety. The other position I was looking at, there's three of them. It's safeties, whether it's free safety or strong safety. I think we need that. We definitely need a linebacker spot filled, and we definitely need offensive line help. There's a few names out there. Linked to the Ravens as the weeks went on and getting closer to draft this week is AHA Clinton Dix. He's a safety from the University of Alabama. Clinton Dix fixed the profile player, play like a Raven. Ozzie Newsome, Alabama alum. We've picked an Alabama player in Courtney Upshaw. Helped us during the Super Bowl year. He's got a ring with us. We had Mount Cody, another Alabama. So Alabama, we know they're rich in the history and the players, and they just pump out players after star player. C.J. Mosley, linebacker again from Alabama, could be there at 17. That's another player I think they're going to look on the radar. They have Kyle Fuller, corner from Virginia Tech, tight end Eric Ebron from North Carolina. He's been linked to the Ravens, but with the addition of Owen Daniels and the contract for Dennis Pitta, it's hard for me to see Eric Ebron being picked at a 17th overall pick by the Ravens, and only strictly because of the, like I said, the two tight ends they have, but again, because of Gary Kubiak's offense, Brandon, he's known to use these two tight end sets. So maybe with them always putting in fresh bodies, maybe I think that maybe that's why it's on the radar. But again, I don't think they're going to go high with a tight end at 17. I'm looking. I honestly think Clinton Dix is going to be our pick at 17.
So you're definitely seeing safety. Of course, there were some issues there last year. I guess the Ravens are kind of want to solve that here, not kind of trading for somebody else, but sticking with a guy who's kind of got to learn the system as he comes up. Now,
let me ask you this, Brandon: what has been the last few years the Ravens' big Achilles heel on defense?
Well, I mean, If you're going back a few years, you've got to look at, you know, Ray Lewis's position, because when Ray Lewis was a part of this team, that was he brought so much to the team. But again, when he got hurt, it was a big question mark on what this defense could do. The big thing, I think, especially with last year, is we saw a team that was trying to transition to being more offensively minded. And then Dennis Pitta got hurt. And after he got hurt, everybody's mindset kind of switched to being a defensive team again. We saw, you know, we talked about that 2 years ago, how Kerry Williams kept getting picked off and getting picked off. Like, he was somebody that quarterbacks would constantly pick on, because every single time that, you know, they were throwing a ball, they were going to go with whoever Kerry Williams was being focused on. So right. I thought last year, Jimmy Smith, I thought he looked really good, and I thought he was able to perform very well for this team. But I'm guessing because of like Lardarius Webb being hurt 2 years ago, him coming back last year, Jimmy Smith maybe didn't have as much support as you would hope a player like him would have. You know, he didn't have a lot of people backing him up and being able to play at like the level he was at, because I really feel like he came into his own last year.
I think so too. I mean, Jimmy Smith stepped up, especially that the final goal line stand in the Super Bowl, where he, that third down, and he knocked the ball loose on the 2 yard line out of Michael Crabtree's hands, which was a key play. And the reason why I was bringing that up of what has been the Achilles heel is, and there's two things when you mention linebacker and Ray Lewis, I want to touch on a few points. Is the Ravens' Achilles heel, what I was aiming for, is the big play. How many times have the Ravens been, and I mean, I might get a little mad talking about it because it fires me up, but how many times have we held offenses on third and long, third and 12, third and 19, right, and they end up getting the first down because what happens? It's three words: the big play. The big play is what scares me, and we always give it up. It's over the top, because we have Ed Reed controlling center field. We need to give Matt Elam some help, him going into a second year. So I'm looking for somebody that can hold down the fort in the secondary because of Ed Reed's absence and what Ed Reed brought to the table here, being as a Raven, playing at a high level, reading the defenses, reading quarterbacks' eyes. We need that safety over the top. Not to say Matt Elam's not doing a great job. He is, and he's going to get better year in, year out, just like Smith in the corners and Webb getting back to the full strength with his knees. That's what I would see. The only thing on the flip side that I could see with a linebacker and C.J. Mosley, or if they draft him or any other linebacker, is I was looking back at some things on defense, and the thing that caught my eye is a lot of the commentators would say about Ray Lewis that even though he's playing at a high level during the playoffs and he led the team in tackles 3 to 4 games, the only thing was his run defense. He wasn't as quick as the running backs now in the NFL because they were quicker, and he lost a step. You know, obviously, Father Time caught up to him. He wasn't as fast as he was, but he was still better than 95% of the linebackers in the league. You know, he's still great. And what happens is on pass coverages too, with the tight ends being, you know, what they are, hybrids, they're a wide receiver / tight end, he couldn't cover. Run defense, he was great, but what happens was when you get those guys in open space with the LeSean McCoys and etc., he couldn't catch up. They would juke step him and Ray would be a step behind. I hate to say that, but you know, it's the truth, and I'm going to speak the truth where it is. You know, Ray Lewis is great. He was always going to be great, but the refactor means is that's when we need to get younger. And there's where I think the linebacker or the safety pick at 17 makes viable sense. Yes, the Ravens need offensive line help, but with the addition of Jeremy Zuta at center, we get Kalichi Osemele back from injury. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mike Orr left, but I think we'll have to find his replacement. I think we either promote within because we have Marchionda still. Like I said, I think it's going to be one or two little spots there. I mean, I don't think they're going to reach for offensive tackle help. They could. I haven't seen any names on the list that pop out. So, again, I'm thinking linebacker or corner, safety in this instance. I'm going to stick with Clinton Dix. I've said it all along, and I'm going to keep saying that through Thursday.
Very cool, man. Yeah, I agree that it's going to be somebody on the defense. I think the offense is kind of loaded right now. I mean, we talked about this on the last episode. I mean, you got Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, Dennis Pitta, Marlon Brown. You got all these guys on the offensive side of the ball that you really don't need a young guy coming up at this point. You're kind of overloaded on receivers, tight ends, that kind of situation. So I think you're good there. I think we're pretty good on quarterbacks as well. So I don't really think you're going to go for one of them in the first round or second round or any kind of around like that this year. So
what about running the football? I mean, a lot of speculation with you know Ray Rice's altercation being put behind him legally, obviously with the news of he got offered the plea deal where he pleaded no guilty, no jail time for him, but he is going to be doing I think probation, community service, anger management classes. But there is a possibility that he could be suspended by the league. There hasn't been league sources confirmed anywhere, haven't read anywhere, but you never know if there's a 2 or 4 game suspension on the hinges beginning of the season. If we don't know if he's going to be there in the beginning of the quarter for the season, we don't know how Bernard Pierce's health is going to hold up until training camp starts. I've heard whispers of Ravens drafting a running back in maybe second or third rounds, and obviously hometown Terrence West's name come up with Towson. I just say, guy, that boy's a tank. I've seen him play. I've seen photos of him. He's huge. He's a bruiser. Maybe that'll be a target for the Ravens in the middle rounds, maybe third, fourth round, maybe even second, because obviously in 2008, Ravens drafted Joe Flacco. Second pick was Ray Rice, quarterback, running back, and we've known how they've panned out for us. They've been great. So we just don't know, but with team needs, maybe a running back or two, they need depth. I mean, they did sign Justin Forsett, so we had to keep that in mind, too, that we have Forsett. So I don't think it's that high on the radar, but I say if Terrence West is there, I'd say take him.
I'm glad you brought up Terrence West, because I would just like to see that just given the fact that he's played football at Towson. He's kind of got, like, that local background, so that's always fun to see. But as far as Rice goes, I mean, it's pretty much confirmed he's not going to be getting any kind of jail time. Like you said, he's just going to have to do what he has to do, whether it be a certain program for anger management, or if he does get the plea deal where, you know, he gets fined a certain amount of money or whatever. I believe he's trying to get into the program just to kind of help out at the fact that he's kind of shown an effort, that he's trying to get better. But the NFL, I mean, I do see them doing some sort of suspension with him. I don't know if they will or not, but I kind of figure that he's going to miss a few games. But he missed a few games last year, and that was due to injury. And I feel like, you know, we had a pretty good backup. You know, we had Bernard Pierce backing him up, and I can see him doing the job that he's got to do behind Ray Rice. So I'm not really worried about running the ball if we have Ray Rice out a few games. We do have Bernard Pierce backing him up.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not worried at all. It's just the fact that with Pierce coming off his surgery and him getting back to full strength, will he be ready? That's just the question that we have to, you know, ask ourselves, being that we're in May, training camp a little over 2 months away. Get excited hearing about that as 2 months away, but we still got 2 months to figure that out going into July and August, and then August 7th at preseason to find out if that's going to be true. But again, team needs, I say, looking at are, you know, safety, linebacker, definitely offensive line. Running back could be a need. You can never have too many running backs. I mean, if we draft one, that'll be right now, I think, 4 or 5 on the depth chart. But you're right. You know, going back to what you said earlier, Brandon, our offense is sick nasty. I really can't wait to see it at full strength. I'm really excited to see Steve Smith on the field. But, you know, I think a bulk of our draft's going to be defense, getting younger, especially with losing, you know, Ray Lewis in the last couple years, Ed Reed last couple years, you know, with Nada getting up there. Suggs is on his last contract. We need to find these guys' heirs. So by the time their retirements are pending, we can have their replacements hitting their peaks and starting hitting their peaks so we can get ready and put those fresh bodies in there. And that's why the draft is important. You know, you're not only, you know, drafting, you know, players every year to plug in spots in the roster, but you're drafting that help. You're drafting the next great player. And I even blogged about this week. I said, you know, every team, you know, dreams of drafting that next leader, the next Hall of Famer, Pro Bowlers, and the Ravens have been great, man. I mean, 16 Pro Bowlers drafted in the Ravens' history, or different Pro Bowlers, whether they're a Pro Bowler with us or another team, they pan out to be a Pro Bowler in some way, shape, or form, and they were drafted by us. You know, I can shoot names from, you know, Ogden, Ray Lewis on down, and then how about that? Even the first two draft picks in history are two surefire Hall of Famers, cornerstones of our franchise, John Ogden, Ray Lewis. You just can't go wrong. Yeah, we've had some busts. We've had Travis Taylors, the Kyle Bowlers, the picks that have. I mean, I remember they were high on Yaman Figures in the fourth or fifth round when they drafted him. Never panned out. A lot of guys that they were excited about that never panned out, but that happens. You're not going to find a gem every pick. But and again, I wrote in a blog, how about this, Brandon? I mean, and I'm going to throw this out there, too. This was pretty cool. You know, Peyton Manning was drafted one overall. Joe Flacco, 18th overall. Tom Brady, 199th overall in the sixth round. But what do they all have in common? Brandon, they have a Super Bowl MVP in ring. That's what I find fascinating is, and I know Brady is a unique story because he, you know, Drew Bledsoe got hurt and he was ushered in as a starter, and that's how Flacco started. Started Flacco in 2008. Just think about that. In 2008, Flacco wasn't even going to start. I think it was Kyle Bowler's team. He ended up getting, I think he got tonsillitis or something, or Troy Smith got tonsillitis or something happened. It was something weird to where one got hurt, one got sick. Flacco gets the starting job since day one, and here he is, you know, 5 years, 6 years later with Super Bowl MVP on his resume. So it's just, you never know where you find these guys. I mean, Ray Rice, second round pick, ends up being, you know, formidable back for us for the last 4 years. Even in, you know, if you talk about the fantasy world, he was the number one draft pick in fantasy for a couple of years. So you never know where you find these players. That's why I'm excited about the draft, is just to see the crop of talent that comes in that's going to help us remain in here. And like you said, Brandon, you're right, man. Yeah, I mean, and then basically, you know, you get your Super Bowl MVP out of the deal. So, like I said, Brandon, you never know. And getting back what you were saying before, you just can't wait to see the immediate impact these guys have on the field, no matter where you draft them. We're just excited enough to have some new Ravens to welcome to Baltimore, welcome to the world-class organization as we know it. And they're going to get back to work at the castle as soon as they get drafted, and it's all said and done.
Yeah, I want to tell you one of my favorite stories of becoming a true Ravens fan, you know, through and through, was the first real season that I watched completely through for the Ravens, you know, that I paid close attention to, that I was checking stats and all that kind of good stuff, was Flacco's rookie season, where he wasn't supposed to be starting. He was the third quarterback in line. The two main guys got sick. They got hurt. They couldn't play. And everybody was talking about Flacco, but they were calling him Falco from the
yep.
Replacements.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember that. I remember seeing this guy, and his first game, he's like running the ball. He's throwing these amazing passes, and completely, like, everyone that I was watching the game with was like, oh my God, this guy's legit.
You remember his first touchdown?
Running,
not passing.
Yeah, right.
Yep. You ran up the sidelines against the Bengals. Who could forget that right in M&T Bank, man? We knew it was going to be new era in Baltimore, right?
Exactly. And the funniest thing that I remember was that Christmas, everybody wanted a Flacco jersey, but the NFL didn't make them because they were going to make a third stringer's jersey. I mean, like, right. Why would they do that? So a friend of mine actually got his jersey made on some website, but it was like one of the really bad, like, Chinese, you know, ripoff websites where it was like it didn't have, you know, how like there's the three colors on the numbers for the Ravens. It's like, you know, black, white, and then it's got like that gold trim around it. All right. Three of those numbers were just kind of like imprinted on top of each other, so the number stuck really far out, but it was the only Flacco jersey for the rest of that season that anybody saw. So yeah, I mean, I that always makes me laugh.
Still have that jersey?
I think he traded up, actually.
Oh,
you know,
no, once... you gotta keep that. That's a story. Yeah, you gotta keep trade that out.
No, but man,
it's like putting the old starter jerseys in the closet, man. You gotta keep the old logos put away, man. It's history.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a football with the old logo on it, man. I'm staring right at it. I mean, you gotta, I mean, the logo might not be, you know, used anymore, but again, it's our version of throwbacks, whether we don't wear them anymore. But that's that's a story. It sucks that if I ever find that jersey floating around anywhere, I'm going to buy it.
Well, I remember just the old logo, man. I remember as a kid having that old logo and being like, man, this is so boring. Who cares about a shield, whatever? But looking looking back at it now, I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, this is actually kind of cool. I kind of like the fact that it's got, you know, the Maryland pride in it, but it's got the Raven wings on the side. I can see why they went with that one, even though I do love all, you know, our Raven head on our helmets now. So
yeah, and I love the shield, the incorporation of the Maryland flag and the shield, and just like the state police shield. And it's funny, we mentioned logos. That's why Steve Smith, it's kind of funny, used it as a little reason he came to Baltimore, where he said, I love the uniforms, you know, I love the logo. I mean, the guy was on point, man. We had one of the best uniforms, and not only that, and the best logo, but the best organization. And it just trickles them down. It shows, you know, from the draft to the players to the way they work. And I just really can't wait to see how it all pans out. And we can always go through countless draft stories. I mean, the draft stories can go on and on. I mean, I remember how Ray Lewis himself was joking with Ozzie Newsome when they drafted, and they didn't even have a team name or a logo, apparently. You know, they were just drafting players. And it was – I always equate that to, you know, I'm actually going to see Ray Lewis next month, so we'll talk about that on a later show. But I'm going to joke with him. But it's almost like picking backyard football. You know, we're just drafting players. You know what our team is or where we are. We're just picking players. We're going to go play somewhere. Yeah, that's why I always joke with him. I'm like, you know, the last time I talked with him, I started that conversation like, you know, how about that? I mean, you came to a team, you didn't even know where your road was going to end, and look at the journey now. I mean, that's just something special. And I mean, you look on back and it's funny, but you know, that's the hand we were dealt when we came here in 96 and we drafted, but we got the draft, and we got it right since day one. I don't know what Ozzie does, but he's gotten it right since day one.
Absolutely. So this week, this Thursday, it'll be the NFL draft. That's where, you know, they make the big spectacle. It's going to be in New York City at Radio City. So definitely check that out. Watch it as you can. The Ravens, they got their first pick, like we talked about. First round is at number 17. So depending on what the Ravens do, you might see some action. You might see somebody on that big stage holding up a Ravens jersey wearing that, you know, Baltimore Ravens baseball cap. So we'll see who it is. We talked about our different guys who Josh thinks is going to be the picks, but we'll see on Thursday, man, and then we'll be back next week to kind of talk about some of the guys the Ravens drafted who impresses you. Maybe we can talk about some highlights of each of us saw, and we'll really talk
and we'll
about,
see if I'm right.
Yeah.
So see if my prediction holds again.
Right. So did we miss anything during this show?
Before we get to that, I just want to mention that if anybody's looking for an activity to do, obviously I won't be at Radio City Music Hall, and if any fan can't get up there, I know the Ravens are having their usual draft party. I went last year. It was pretty fun, so-called the Spring Football Festival, but they're having it now in the draft this year. I think it's a $20 entry fee for adults, get you in the stadium. Player autographs are going to be there. I think the autographs are sold out from what I heard, you know, given the last minute of everything. But I mean, you get you in the stadium, you get to, you know, go on the field, tour locker rooms. I heard the Super Bowl trophies will be for display for all our eyes to see. So I mean, the Ravens do it right. They're holding, you know, a draft party this year down at M&T Bank, and I hope the weather holds for that. I'm thinking about going myself, being that I'm not going to New York. Where better else to play it? But you know, one funny story real quick, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but when we drafted Joe Flacco, I was actually, you know, they had those events too back when in 2008. I saw Joe Flacco getting drafted, and I can't remember which end zone. I have to look back at the pictures, but I was standing in the end zone, and my foot was on the goal line, and I was watching through the uprights on the actual field through the Jumbotron, and I saw our quarterback get drafted. How cool was that?
Very cool.
Yeah, I remember, you know, they announced it throughout the speakers of the stadium, you know, with the 18th pick, Ravens get Joe Flacco, quarterback, University of Delaware, and I was like, that's it. I knew that one day he would be the franchise quarterback, and I even said that standing there, you know, loud and proud and applauding it, you know, talking to fans that day. Everybody's like, I don't know, we'll see. And so everybody's like, who's this guy? No one ever heard of him. And look at him now. Look at him now. Wanted to get to, I wanted to, you know, throw an interesting story out there real quick. quick, if I may. I don't know if anybody follows our good friends at WNST, but Nestor wrote a book, Purple Rain 2, and I wanted to semi-plug that. But, you know, the reason why I want to bring that up, because the story I found very, very fascinating, and he wrote about in his book. You know, the Ravens originally were – they wanted Matt Ryan badly. I don't know if anybody knew that, but we knew – that Matt Ryan and Flacco will be linked forever because of the comparison, and the Ravens do play them this year at M&T Bank, so we'll get to see them head-to-head. But the Ravens scouts, they wanted Ryan badly, and I heard in the book, or I read in the book, I should say, I don't know how you can hear pages, but yeah, but I read that the Ravens scouts, apparently there was like a doubleheader, like think if my memory serves correctly from the book, Delaware was playing Richmond up in Delaware, and later that night, Boston College, where Matt Ryan played, was playing the Maryland Terrapins down in College Park, and the Ravens scouts are going to split time and leave at halftime of the Delaware game and go back down to College Park. Well, Nestor wrote about Eric DaCosta saying that he never made it to College Park. He was stuck watching Flacco, and after the game, they went back and watched more tape on Flacco, and he threw, I think, one of the games they scouted him, he threw four touchdowns in the game and led him to a comeback. So so the legend was born. You know, they didn't even get a chance to see Matt Ryan. And, you know, we know he went to the Atlanta Falcons and we got Flacco. So it was kind of like, oh, first guy's picked, so we'll pick guy number two. And I think guy number two worked out pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of happy with the way that worked out for us.
But yeah, I thought it was an interesting story being this draft week. I thought that was definitely a good draft story to have. And thanks for Nestor to write about it, because I definitely enjoyed, you know, learning the ins and outs of how the team runs. And that's some of the stories you just don't know and don't get to see on a daily basis. And just gives you an inside look at the team. So I just can't wait to see who the next great Raven is we draft. But again, Brandon, with that said, I think not a chance that we got everything good this week.
All right, very cool, man. Well, if you're going to be watching the draft, maybe you're at one of these cool parties. I know Jimmy Seafood's having a party with Jimmy Smith and Torrey Smith. I know Purple Rain, they're doing a show up in Owings Mills at the Buffalo Wild Wings up there. I'm sure WNST is doing a show. I believe it's with Dennis Pitta, Pedonia Station. Don't quote me on that, though. I'm not absolutely sure about that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, all right. So there's plenty of stuff going around. If you want to tweet to us as things are going on, if you want to tweet to me, tweet to me at Brando Cash. And if you want to tweet to Josh and say, hey, man, congrats on picking the right guy. The Ravens picked him. You were right. Where can people tweet and congratulate you at?
They can tweet and congratulate me or bust my chops if I'm wrong. at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Now, make sure you go over to BrandoCash.com. That is the home for all things Brando Cash Network podcast. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Make sure you also are social with us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. You can like the podcast over there, and we'll give you information about when a new show may be dropping. Since this is the off season, we will be back next week to talk about who the Ravens selected in the draft. But then after that, it'll be whenever news decides to break, we'll be doing a show. So make sure you stay social with us. Also, if you are a Ravens fan, you listen to The Call, let people know about The Call. That way we can get bigger and better and continue to do the show as much as possible. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. You listen to The Call, and they should too. Make sure you leave us an iTunes review. And if you're an Android user, or if you are an iPhone user and just like it better, we are available on iTunes, the podcast app, as well as Stitcher, Stitcher Radio. It's on-demand radio for your Android or iPhone. So whatever you feel like listening to us on, do that. If you're on the web, go to thecall.brandocash.com. You can listen to this show and archive shows as well. So we're available anywhere for free. So just make sure that you're listening to The Call for us. Josh, the draft is upon us. Take us out the way you always do.
All right, Brandon. Thank you very much. And like Brandon said, guys, just listen. It's worth your time. I trust me. But if not, you know, can't wait to the draft. Very excited. It's great to talk about. I'm just getting excited. Like I said, I can't really. And it's another big step in the direction of the regular season getting started. But first, we got to welcome a fresh new crop of Ravens, fresh faces to Baltimore. Will they be a next Pro Bowler? Will we draft the next Hall of Famer this year? Let's see. Can't wait to see what happens. Until then, enjoy the draft this weekend. It's going to be great. And until then, we're going to say Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.